Thank you for
this
coming.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
We look forward to a great service tonight. God bless you, brother. Thanks for coming. Amen.
Thank you.
Why don't you introduce yourself and your family, please?
All right. Hey, we are excited to be here. We appreciate Pastor Shear having us in. We appreciate you letting us stay in the prophet's chamber. My name is Jeremy Combs. I am the speaker for camp this week and the last two. That's why you can hear the voice. But actually, it's a lot better than what it was the last two or three days. So we do appreciate that. Enjoyed getting to know Michael.
This is a demonstration.
I can't see words about him now, if you want to know. So, most of them pretty good, though, but we do appreciate that. My family is with us as well. My wife, Julie, is about midway back on my left. And then we have four kids. We have Katie, who is six. Ethan is five today. And
what's with you? Why did you tell me that?
He's asleep, that's why.
So, well, I know, but you were at my house eating.
Oh, wow.
I have toys.
Anyway,
this is a demonstration.
So there we go. But anyway, Ethan's five, Becky is two, and Lana is one. And we travel as a family. I was going to say I appreciate your testimony, Pastor, but no, we do appreciate your pastor and his testimony and his faithfulness. And that is a rarity, unfortunately, in the day and age we live in. And so we are thankful for that. Pray for us this week. Some people look at the last week, and
this
that's why
is a demonstration of Pastor Mac
going to be there next week. Some people look at the juniors, and they're like, well, you know, they're just push them out of the way. And you're exactly right. They're moldable. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And what a privilege to work with children, with anybody, but especially with children. And so be praying for those as we get started this week. Genesis chapter 5 is where we'll be at. I will get to that in a moment. But we will pretty much
this
end
is a
the book of Genesis throughout the message. And as you turn there, tonight I want to talk to you about the United States of America. And I remember the old-time preacher, Dr. John R. Rice. He used to travel the country, and he would do citywide meetings. When he would come into a city, he would often put in the paper, and the papers actually covered these, ironically, that what they were going to preach the night before. And so he put in the paper one day in a town called Binghamton,
this
New York.
This is a demonstration.
There was the title of his message,
Matt.
Sodom and Gomorrah and Binghamton, New York, one and the same. And he put that in the paper, let him read it, and then he preached a message on it that night. And by the way, he really preached it, and they had a couple of stings that took place by the police during the services, arrested some corrupted officials, and in essence, God brought revival to the city of Binghamton, New York. Now, I don't know how often Dr. Rice might have done that.
This
in the
is
city
a demonstration.
But back in those days, the old-time preachers really used to preach on Sodom and Gomorrah, and they used to compare America and others to it. Today, that is almost a taboo subject to do. That you just don't talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, let alone dare compare our country or anyone else to it. But tonight, I'd like to return to those old-time roots and actually look at Sodom and Gomorrah and see the parallel that it has with the United States of America. And
this
so tonight,
is a
demonstration. Two titles for the message.
One,
as we preach about America, the hope or ruin of America. And certainly our country is in desperate needs. But what is the hope or what will be the ruin of America? And as we look at the Bible counterpart, Sodom and Gomorrah, I want you to see the sad story of Sodom. And there were many sad things that happened in the events of Sodom, but none sadder than what we will talk about tonight. Now, before we get into Genesis chapter 5, there's a verse I will quote and probably reference several
times
tonight. And that is Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let me say that one more time. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, as we begin looking at the nation of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah tonight, number one, I want you to see the startling start to Sodom. The startling start to Sodom.
This
as
is
I
a demonstration
out Sodom
of
and Gomorrah
from
for
that.
This message, I was surprised. It takes us all the way back to the beginning of Genesis. We're in Genesis 5 and verse 32. The Bible says, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You say, why are we talking about Noah? Because we're going to find that Noah's descendants are the ones that will go and will settle in the land of Sodom. Turn to Genesis 10, just over a couple of pages. And you'll find that it's one of these genealogies that we often skip over or we run through. And this is going to be the first reference of Sodom in the whole Bible. It's here, Genesis 10 and verse 19. It says, in the border of the Canaanites, that's one of the sons of Noah, was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gera unto Gaza, as thou comest unto Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to find that there's a startling start to Sodom that even, I think, surprised me even, was that there was a potential to have a godly
foundation. This is a demonstration of this,
what we now call a notorious wicked city. We find that Noah had a son named Ham. Ham had a son, Noah's grandson, named Canaan. And it would be Canaan's descendants that would go and would settle into the land of what we now know as Sodom and Gomorrah. Shocking that a godly foundation could so quickly erode. But you know, as we think about our country tonight, we had a godly foundation. I don't care what the secular historians try to teach us, and unfortunately, if any of our students go to public schools, they're taught that, you know, we were not founded on religion, we were not founded on God. Washington and Lincoln and all of them were atheists, but you go to Washington, D.C., and read the monuments, and you'll find out real quick that we had a godly foundation. In fact, let me quote you some of our founding fathers. Patrick Henry said this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly." He felt pretty strong about this. "Or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists."
This is a demonstration,
"but by Christians."
A flip from
not
that.
"On religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." George Washington, our first president, in the first ever inaugural address said this, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States." And again, James Madison said this, "We stake the future of American civilizations upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments."
This is a demonstration of God.
Now let me make this clear. I'm not saying that every single one of our founding fathers were born again believers right down the line as we were. But I do believe that we were founded on a godly foundation as a country. And all we have to do is look back to history. As you look at the startling start to both America and to Sodom, we see, number one, there was a godly foundation. But number two, there was good fortune. Boy, you look at our country, we are blessed with the country and the resources and the land that we
this
have at our
demonstration
disposal. Well, you know what? Sodom and Gomorrah was no different. Again, you go a few pages more to Genesis 13 and verse 10. You find Lot is looking where to settle. Abraham says, "If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If I go to the right, you go to the left." He decides to choose Sodom. Why does he do that? Verse 10 says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt." As
this is a demonstration of
this place was beautiful. It was almost, it's described as the garden of the Lord. I mean, you can't get a better description of Sodom and Gomorrah. And sometimes when we look at Sodom again, we think it was wicked from the get-go. And we think it was some run-down dump of a town. And that's why it was lawless and there was all kinds of activity going on. According to the Bible, there was a godly foundation. And Sodom and Gomorrah had good fortune. And so has the United States of America. But
this
I've got to tell you, we've got to figure out where our good fortune has come from. And today we look to many different resources. We look to the military. I praise God for our military. But that's not where the good fortune of the United States of America comes from. You say, well, it comes from our schools. It comes from our Congress. It doesn't come from any of those places. In fact, a French writer by the name of Alex de Quaville came to America in 1831. And here's what he said. He said, "I sought for the greatness of the United States of America in her camaraderous harbor, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and her boundless forests, and it was not there." He said, "I sought for her riches in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school systems, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there." He said, "I looked for it in her Democratic Congress, her matchless constitution, and it was not there." There, now don't miss this, "not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness,
this is a demonstration
did I understand the secret
that.
Of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." I don't know what the Quavo's background was, what religion he was, but he nailed it right on the head back in 1831 that the reason God was blessing the United States of America was because America had a focus on the things of God. And it was because of God's peoples and God's pulpits. And that
this
was where America's fortune came from. But thirdly, before we move on, the startling start to Sodom, we see, number one, there was a godly foundation. There was good fortune, but I want you to see there was gradual failure. There was gradual failure. How is it that from Ham to Abraham, 10 generations, or what we would assume to be approximately 600 years, did one city go from a godly man who had saved the world from a flood and his descendants to one of the most wicked places that we even feel and call it that even
this
to this day?
This is a demonstration.
Well, it didn't happen overnight. There was a gradual failure that took place. And by the way, the gradual failure started with God's own people. You go back to Genesis chapter 9, and for time's sake, we won't necessarily read through the story, but we find that Noah, after he delivers the world from a flood, he has a vineyard, he gets drunken, he's uncovering in his tent, and we find that his son Ham goes inside. And we're not exactly sure what took place, but we know when Noah awoke, he knew what had taken place. And
this
we find that then Noah
that.
Places a curse both upon Ham and Canaan. You say, why did God judge Canaan? Well, evidently Canaan must have had something to do with it or was involved with his father's sin. And so God judged both of these men. And we find that that is the beginning of a gradual slide down to the slippery slope that is called Sodom. I'm telling you tonight, we need revival in the United States of America desperately. But the revival does not need to take place
this
in the abortion
is a demonstration
clinic. The revival does not need to take place in the bars of America, in the pornography industries. The revival that needs to take place in the United States of America is in our churches and with Christians like you and me. Because it's of the Christians that we have seen the gradual failures and declines of our country today. And we see as we look at Sodom and as we look at the United States of America, there's a startling start to Sodom. That it once had a godly foundation.
This
it was blessed with good fortune, but gradual failures led to its ultimate destruction. Number two, I want you to see, not only do we see the startling start to Sodom, but number two, we see the serious sin of Sodom. The serious sin of Sodom. Genesis 13:13, God says this, the men of Sodom were wicked, sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You flip ahead to Genesis 19.
This is a demonstration.
You'll get a little glimpse into what Sodom was really like. We find two angels go to visit Sodom, and they come in. Lot greets them, invites them into his home. And we find that as they begin to lay down, verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called in a lot and said unto him, where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. They're not wanting to talk
this
to them or have a conversation.
They're
wanting to be
that.
Immoral, do some deplorable things with them. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do this unto them as thou is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. You know, as I think about Lot, we know from later references that he was a believer. Second Peter, if not, Pastor, we read that this morning in the reading. But if not, we might sit here tonight and say, that guy's probably not saved. Man, the way he's talking, the way he's carrying on, giving over, offering up two of his daughters, that these men could go and be immoral with them all night long. What's wrong with this man? This man got into the world and the world got into him. And so he's thinking and acting just like the world. And we find that he tries to dissuade them and that they won't be dissuaded. And they said in verse 9, stand back. And they said, this one fellow came into sojourn and he will now be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore unto them even Lot. And they came near to break the door, but the men put forth their hand. And they pulled Lot into the house, and they shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Did you notice from all ends of the spectrum, from the poor side of town to the rich side of town, men were immoral, terrible deeds. The young and the old. There was nothing
this
restraining
is a demonstration
these men. In fact, even as they were smitten with blindness, The Bible says they wearied themselves. They went until they were so exhausted that they couldn't go longer. That's how hard they still continued to try to get into the home of Lot. There's no doubt about it, as you read Genesis and the rest of the Bible, there was some serious sin going on in Sodom. But what was the sin that was the nail that was in Sodom's coffin?
This
frequently, what we refer to when we go to Sodom and Gomorrah, we immediately go to homosexuality. We go to sodomy, and we say, well, that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That was one of the reasons, but as you look in the book of Ezekiel, that's not the main reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel 16 and verse 48 says this, "As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister
Sodom."
This is
a demonstration of flip from that.
Pride. Fullness of bread. Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty, and they committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Now, that last verse there settles the fact that homosexuality and the immoral deeds that they were doing was part of it. But isn't it amazing? God says, here's why I destroyed Sodom, Israel.
This is
and
a
here's
demonstration.
Why you deserve to be destroyed. Because of pride. Because you're so self-sufficient, full of bread. In essence, you're to the point where you say, I don't need God. We're doing pretty good all on our own. And I wonder what God would write about the United States of America tonight. As we have said, get out of our schools. As we have said, get out of our courtrooms. Get out of our government. Get out of everything, God. We don't need you.
This is a demonstration of
Christianity. God didn't judge America. He'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I wonder what they would say today. I read a book many years ago called When Nations Die. A gentleman did a study on civilizations that were once great and that are now obliterated or are destroyed. And when he did this, he gave 10 warning signs. For time's sake, I'll just rattle them off to you. But it's pretty amazing. He said in each of these civilizations, there was a crisis of lawlessness.
This is a demonstration of flip from
I'm glad
that.
We don't have any problem with that in our country. You know, people taking guns into schools, malls, shooting the place up, prisons are full. A crisis of lawlessness. A loss of economic discipline. Go visit Washington. And by the way, it's not just Washington. It's even us people. You know, credit card, whatever we want. Just take it. We have no discipline economically. A rising of bureaucracy. That is, people begin to look to rulers.
This is a demonstration.
If we get the next ruler, he's going to change the country, and he is the answer. A decline of education. Don't even have to comment on that. Weakening of cultural foundations, a loss of respect for tradition, an increase of materialism. Did you hear what God said about Sodom, that they wouldn't strengthen the hand of the poor? Why weren't they helping the poor and the needy? Because it's all about them. You know, our country, it's all about us. A rise of immorality. Boy, and that is ever rising
quickly. This is
quickly.
A demonstration.
A decay of
I'll
religious belief and the devaluing of human life. Oh, almost all 10 dead ringers for the United States of America. And unless your head is buried in the sand or you're just not thinking, you've got to understand tonight that we are headed to destruction and we deserve every single bit of it. But I find it interesting as we go back to Genesis and we look at Lot.
This is a demonstration.
Hey, Sodom and Gomorrah, they deserved it. But in Genesis 14, something interesting happens. A coalition of kings comes in, and they sack Sodom and Gomorrah, and they carry off the city as well as Lot. And only by a righteous man named Abraham is Sodom and Gomorrah delivered. He said, what do you think God was doing? God was warning Sodom and Gomorrah, I can destroy you if you will not repent. And God in his love and God in his mercy said,
this is a demonstration.
And I'll give you a little bit more time. You know, sometimes there are people that ask me questions. They'll say, well, do you think the earthquakes, tornadoes, the hurricanes, do you think God is allowing that to happen to the United States of America to get our attention?
Hello.
I do. Some people say, well, what about 9/11? I think so. I think God allowed, said, you want to see what it's like when I take my hand off of you for just 30 minutes and look at the devastation that came? And I know that's not popular preaching
this
today.
This is a demonstration of flip for man.
God must be an angry, miserable, terrible man. No, he's a merciful God. He's a gracious God that keeps saying, America, you need to repent. You need to return to the things of God, or destruction will come, and it will be swift, and it will be severe. Other men knew that. In fact, our presidents back in days used to know that. Here's what Abraham Lincoln once said during the Civil War. He said, God only knows the issues of this business discussing
this
the war.
Is a demonstration
he has destroyed nations
of
from the map of history for their sins. Nevertheless, my hope prevails greatly above my fears for our republic. The times are dark. The spirits of ruin are abroad in all their power, and the mercy of God alone can save us. Oh, you know what we need? We need to get back to seeing that God is in control. And as long as we rear our back and we continue down our path, God will bring judgment.
This
but
is
you know,
a demonstration.
God not only gave a warning to Sodom, he gave a witness.
Yeah.
You read on down to 18 through 23. Abraham has a wonderful opportunity. The king's stumbling all over himself. Here, let me give you this money. Let me give you this. And he said, no. He said, you know what? I have lifted mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Abraham's able to give this guy a testimony and say, hey, you think I delivered you? You're mistaken. The Most High God, the one who's in control, is the one that saved you, and he's the one you better turn back to. And you know, all these events can take place. And we keep explaining them away. Global warming? Psychological problems? Really what it is it's a rebellion against God. Unwilling
This is a demonstration of flip for Mac.
Admit that God is in control and God in love is trying and vying for our attention.
Yeah.
We see the vices, but then we see the verdict of Sodom. God came to the point where he said, it's over. And he brought down the judgment upon Sodom. From this point on, anytime you will reference Sodom after chapter 19, it will be a reference to God judging. In fact, even the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
And here's what he said, Matthew 10:14. He said, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, he's speaking to his disciples, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Whoa. See, what was Jesus all worked up about? He said, hey, listen, you go out and you talk to me about the Lord. And I said, we don't want any of that.
This is a demonstration of flip from that.
You can't let it eat your lunch. You wipe the dust off your feet, but I'm telling you this. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them. You say, why is that? Because they received. And to whom much is given, much is required. Later, Jesus was said in Matthew 11:20, then he upbraided the cities. He said, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethesda. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for these. See, sometimes what we like to do is we like to pick on Sodom. Oh, wicked, terrible people. God destroyed them. They deserved every minute of it.
This is a demonstration of flip for Mac.
Here God came to his own people. And he said, you look at yourselves and your pride, and you say, Sodom is such a terrible place. And it probably was something they talked about frequently. And he said, listen to me. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom in the judgment of God than it'll be for you. Because you rejected the Lord. Now I again wonder, what would God say in America tonight when each and every one of us own a Bible or two or three or four? You can flip on the radio and you can hear a gospel
this
preaching
is a demonstration.
You can get on the internet at Christmas time. We're playing the carols and Away in the Manger. And I'm telling you, you can't escape in this country hearing or reading or seeing something about God. But again, to whom much is given, much is required.
Yeah.
So that means only one thing. Judgment is coming. if we reject the truth of God. We see, number one, the startling start to Sodom. Number two, we've seen the serious sin of Sodom. But here's the crux of the message.
This is a demonstration of flip for Matt.
Solution of Sodom. What's the sad story of Sodom? Well, the sad story of Sodom is found beginning in Genesis 18. And again, for time's sake, let me summarize it for you. God says, I'm going to tell Abraham that I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham gives us a beautiful picture of prayer, interceding. And he says,
this
God, would you destroy Sodom if there were 50 righteous? God says, no, I won't destroy Sodom for 50 righteous. What about for 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20? He talks him all the way down to 10. And he says, God, just one more time, if 10 righteous people are in Sodom, will you spare it and not destroy it? And God says, I'll do it.
This is a demonstration of flip for Mac.
You say, why did Abraham settle on 10? Well, he'd already talked God to a lot and asked God a lot, but I think as well, I think 10's a pretty safe number. I've got Lot and his wife. He has two daughters we know of, so there's four. The Bible mentions he has at least a son or sons, so there's a couple more. And he has son-in-laws, so you could put a couple more daughters, a couple more sons, some grandchildren. So he's probably thinking in the back
of
his
demonstration
mind, at least
from that.
Lot may not have been the greatest Christian, maybe didn't go on there, and he wasn't on fire for God, but at least he probably had enough sense and enough spiritual depth to go and at least reach his family, maybe a neighbor, a co-worker, one or two, and the whole city is going to be spared, not because Lot is a tremendous soul winner, but at least he's doing the minimal and doing what he ought to be doing. Verse chapter 19.
This is a demonstration
of
flip for Mac.
Lot did. We find in verse 12, the angel said, and they said, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws. I found this interesting, Pastor. It doesn't say
this is a demonstration of flip for Mac.
You say, why is that? I don't know that I can say for sure, but I almost wonder. He knew what they had heard at home. He knew the teachings they had received at home. And so I almost believe he might have just thought, well, I'm not even going to bother with that. And maybe in his mind he's thinking, at least my son-in-laws, maybe they had a better upbringing. Maybe they are a little bit more strong and courageous. And my daughters were able to have some kind of an influence. And so he goes to his son-in-laws, verse 14. And he says, up, get down.
This is
this
a demonstration.
But the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. They said, is this a joke? You're the same guy that stood around and told the dirty jokes with us? You're the same guy that went out and drank, had a drink on the way home from work? You're the same guy that's gone around and you haven't said anything about God.
This is
and
a demonstration
all of a sudden you want to come and try to
scare
us with these things. Get lost. We don't care. And the sad story of Sodom tonight. You say, what's so sad about it? Is it that the city was destroyed? That was sad. But I don't think that's the sad story of Sodom tonight. You say, well, was it the sin? The sin was sad. But that wasn't the saddest story of Sodom. The sad story of Sodom tonight is it could have been spared if one man, one of it re-leached his family or a neighbor or
this
a co-worker.
This is a demonstration.
But he didn't even do that. And so righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. And so Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Because a Christian man by the name of Lot said, I'm going to live in the world and be like the world and I'm going to blend in and I don't want to be one of those fanatical people that goes out and tell us other about God. And he didn't do anything. He said, what's the hope or ruin
this is
of
a
America tonight?
Of
it's you and me. And sometimes we get a small person mentality. Well, it's just me. And, you know, there are millions of people living here in the United States of America. And there are people in bigger cities and bigger churches and this and that. Hey, listen. One person makes a difference. The Bible clearly teaches it here. That if one man would have done something, it could have spared an enormous city.
This is a demonstration
Make
of personal
from
tonight.
If God was coming to destroy Great Falls, Montana, or the United States of America, and he came down and looked at one person, and it was you, and he said, I will spare and will not destroy if they will have at least reached some of their family and the close people around them who have made an attempt to go out and do so, would we be spared tonight, or would we face certain doom?
This is a demonstration.
See, the problem of our country tonight is we as Christians have been silent when we ought to be speaking out. It's sad that you go to so many churches and they have visitation programs. And if they get 10% of the people to show up, they're thrilled. We were down in Miami, Florida, preaching at a church of about 400 people. Went to their visitation program throughout the week. The visitation pastor, he was so excited. He said, we've got 30 people here tonight.
This
and I praised God for that pastor, and he was working hard.
Mass.
But I thought, they are excited, and they don't even have 10%. And I've got to tell you, you go to most churches, 10% would be wonderful. Yeah. What that tells me is 90% are not doing the job. And all it takes is saying, Pastor, I'm going to come on Saturday. Go out with somebody. He said, oh, I don't know what to say. Just go.
This is a demonstration of
I'm thankful for you, pastor, that took me in. I stood with him. And he said, you just stand there, hold the stuff, and pray. Then one day he turned to me and said, all right, you've been listening long enough. You talk at the next door. I said, well, he said, I'll bail you out. So, and he did. And that's how I learned. You know, go out and grab some tracts. You go through that McDonald's drive-thru, give them a tract, say, here's something for you to read. I probably can't stop and preach my message, but hey, read this when you get a chance. Hey, this changed my life.
This is a demonstration.
You know, they ought to get to the point when they see somebody from someone from Mary's Baptist pull up, they'll say, oh, we're going to get another tract. Have a big old stack from here. Maybe they can bring them back to pastor after a while because they got so many. That'd be wonderful. Edmund Burke used to say this, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And Pastor was right this morning.
This
the
is a
Lord
demonstration
is coming
of flip for
back. And very soon, how are we as a country, as a church, as a family, as a individual Christian, how are we going to greet Him? With our lamps burning bright and our hands blistered from being out in the harvest? Or sitting back taking it easy with the rest of the world? 2 Chronicles 7:14 reminds us,
this is a demonstration
which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You say, Brother Jeremy, you really believe revival is possible in this country? I do. Because we serve a God that wants to see revival happen more than Pastor, me, more than all of us combined.
This is a demonstration.
But He's just not going to let it happen. It's going to take us. It's going to take those who are silent that will say, I will be silent no more. And I will step up, speak up, and go out for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1994, a fire broke out at a club in the Elizabeth City of New Jersey. In the stampede to get out of the way of the fire, four young people were trampled to death at an exit door. As horrendous as that sounds, it was even more horrendous when they investigated the scene and found several things wrong with the club. Number one, the lighted exit sign had burned out, so people couldn't necessarily see the exit door. But even worse than that was that people were slipping into that club without paying, so the owners of the establishment nailed the door shut to keep people from coming in. And in essence, when that fire started, it kept them from going out. And literally four people
this
died
is a demonstration
with absolutely no
of
way of escaping. Can I tell you, for some of us, our Christian light has gone off. In fact, some of us, we just look around, oh, this is a terrible country, and God's going to send, and it's almost like we're cheering on God, come destroy us. And we just nail the door shut, and it's all done. We'll just wait for God to come back. God is coming back, and we are waiting, but we're waiting, serving, and trying to reach others for Him.
Amen.
And tonight, as we look at Sodom, I wonder what the story would be like.
This is a demonstration of
had one man decided to go out and at least reach his family or his neighbors or his co-workers, we would probably be reading a totally different passage. But the sad story of Sodom tonight is one man, a Christian, did nothing. Let's quietly stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Pastor.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. You're here tonight, and God's speaking to your heart. Maybe you're here tonight, and you're not saved. Will you come? Boy, it'd be a terrible thing to find out that, like those left in Sodom, they were destroyed. And you will be destroyed if you do not receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, straight as that. That's the Word of God. Thus saith the Word of God. You're here tonight, and you have a choice. Your choice is either you accept Christ or not.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
And the free will is this. Either you accept me or not accept me. Are you here tonight and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I'm saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. You need to come right now, and we want to baptize you. We want to do what the Bible says. You come right now.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac. This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac. This is a demonstration of Flip
for Mac. Here tonight you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? Here tonight you say, Preacher, I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Down in the water, illustrating the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And up out of the water, illustrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture baptism is. Maybe you're here tonight and say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we believe God has led us to become members. Why don't you come at this time?
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
Maybe you're here tonight and say, you know, God is really tugging at my heart. The Holy Spirit is really tugging at my heart about being a soul winner, being a witness for Him. Boy, how could you sit and listen to that without just shaking in your boots and say, man, less than 10% of all the fundamental independent Bible-believing churches, they don't go soul winning. Yeah, that's right.
Come this on, is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
Here. Shame on us. Maybe you can't come Saturday, but I'll help you out giving tracts. Help you out telling, inviting people to Jesus Christ. That's what this church is about. This is not a spectator church. This is a going church. People doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
Then you hear you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? Maybe you hear tonight and say, Preacher, I haven't found the Lord. Well, why don't you get baptized? Michael's getting baptized tonight. Why don't you come be baptized with them? Here tonight you say, Preacher, I want to become members of this church. This is what I want to serve at. You know, if God says that
this
we're not
is a
forsake
demonstration
the assembling of ourselves, and some is, it must be a thing there about being a member of a church. Amen. God said, I love my church so much. I love the church so much I gave my son to die for it. And Jesus Christ said, I love the church so much I gave my life for it. I bought it with a price, and the price was his blood.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
Now, Father in heaven, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity we can come. Lord, the Word of God was pressing and the power of the Holy Spirit was upon
this is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
Bringing things to our hearts and our minds, what we should be doing. God, forgive us of where we have failed you. Forgive us where we have not told others about you. Forgive us as Lot had lived in that city and didn't even lead his own sons-in-laws to the Lord. God, have mercy on us. Lord, help us to realize the responsibility we have. Some people tonight will just pass it off and say, well, I'll get out of this service and go to the next one. I will tell you something. We'll all stand before a holy God someday.
This is a demonstration of Flip for Mac.
Lord, speak to our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.